My name is Catherine Seal, and you're listening to Global South, a program bridging the gap between borders from around the world. It's a program that attempts to bridge the gaps of political and social economic misunderstandings between us in the West and global countries we categorize as Global South or the Third World. During the next 16 weeks, you'll be listening to a multi-series program from Kisumu, Kenya, talking with educators, activists, and community politicians on Kenya's history, corruption, global aid pros and cons, and community efforts for economic and social sustainability. On today's program, we'll be listening to the first of a two-part series with Moses Ayoma from Kisumu, Kenya. He is a husband, father, and politician, and he's also employed with Safaricom Corporation. He's an advocate for social and economic reform on a local and national level. One thing to note, this interview is in the raw with minor edits for today's program. It is recorded live, uninterrupted, in the spring of 2017 prior to the Kenyan national election in August of the same year. Hi, welcome. I want to introduce Moses here in a moment, but I just wanted to describe to you where we are. We are in a community called Migosi, just outside of Kisumu, or a suburb of Kisumu, Kenya. And we're sitting in a guest house. The lights are very dim, and it's quiet because the atmosphere outside is very, very busy. The area is bustling with people going to and from work, doing business. And so I asked Moses if we could find a quiet place to sit and do this interview. Anyway, I'm very happy to have him here. He's very knowledgeable on Kenya. He's very in tune to the political system and to the economy. So again, I'm very happy to have him here because we're going to discuss a bunch of stuff today. So we're going to start out and I'm going to get Moses to introduce himself and tell us a little bit about who he is.
Yeah, thank you very much, Kathy, for this session. And I'm very glad and pleased to have this this program today. First, I'm called Moses Ayoma. I'm a Kenyan. I live in the city of Kisumu. And I come from a family of nine. And I'm a married man with one daughter. And besides that, currently I'm working with Kopokopo and Safaricom as a sales representative. Besides that, I'm also a community advocate on social rights, majorly on political affairs in the country. To go back in 2007, I contested for a civic seat. Unfortunately, before the nominations primaries for the political party I was running into, I decided to step down. Currently, with the political temperatures rising, and being Kenya this year in 2017, we have our general elections coming up in the month of August on 8th. I'm trying to get together with various aspirants of political parties to find their opinion, their idea on various issues attaching to the people of this particular area we are coming from, and that is Migosi Ward.
We're going to start with politics because I know we talked about this the other day and you were very, very knowledgeable and your opinion was just really amazing. And I think to bring home to Salmon Arm and to people that live in BC, I think we need to understand more of the political system. And tell me about previous elections, what that has caused, what has that created. And you do have another election coming up in August of this year and there are some tense feelings out there. And we'll talk about where that might go and what that would mean for the future of Kenya. So let's maybe start back a couple of years ago and talk about what happened with the last election and what happened to the people.
Once again, thank you, Kathy. Kenyan political history is very rich, I want to say. Kenya got independence in 1963 and we became a republic in the same year in the month of December. And since then, the political history of Kenya has been dominated by two tribes, and that is Kikuyus and Luos. And also in the political history, the struggle for colonization, these two major political tribes got involved seriously. And after independence, there was a disconnect between these two tribes, and that is Kikuyus and Luos. And Kikuyus were being led by Jomo Kenyatta, who became the first president, and Jaramogi Oginga Odinga, who became the first president thereafter. And this kind of arrangement after independence could not continue after long, afterwards. That is after independence, because the motives and the intentions why the British were forced out of the country when Kenyans wanted their self-governing system, their independence, their freedom to govern themselves and to come up with their own systems of governing their affairs. A disconnect came, disagreement arose between Jaramogi Oginga Odinga and Mzee Jomo Kenyatta, who was the first president of the Republic of Kenya. And this was because of the land tenure after the independence. The history tells us that Jaramogi Oginga Odinga, being the first president, was having a very good system on how tribalism could be eradicated, ethnicity could be eradicated, and that did not make the first president happy. And this was because Jomo Kenyatta wanted a system whereby all 42 tribes of Kenya representing Kenyans' ethnicity could be taken to where the white settlers were living, so that there could be intermarriage between tribes and communities of Kenya. And by that, the issue of tribalism and ethnicity could be done away with at the beginning of independence. So when this got to the first president, who is coming from the Kikuyu tribe, he did not get happy. Instead, what he went on to do was to take major fertile lands which were inhabited by the colonial masters. And he went ahead, grabbed the land, and made his own Kikuyu tribesmen, fellow tribesmen, squatters. So because of this, Jaramogi Oginga Odinga got disagreement with the first president, and they got separated. And that's where the political hostility started between Kikuyus and Luos and other tribes, who felt that they were not given the good share of independence cake. So Jaramogi Oginga Odinga went and wrote a book, Not Yet Uhuru. Uhuru means independence. And the major reason why Kenyans demanded their self-sovereignty was because they wanted their own rights. They wanted to have their lands back to them. So after this happened, Kenyatta came with the same ideology, same idea, same tactics of the colonial masters to take over lands from the natives. So this is what drives Jaramogi Oginga Odinga to write a book, Not Yet Independence. And that's where it all went wrong.
So we'll jump from that time period now into 2017. And again, maybe just bounce back there a couple of years and bring us up to speed from the last election. And then go on to explain for our listening audience what these next elections will mean for Kenya.
Before we come to the current affairs with the upcoming elections in 2017, I want us to go back to the year 2002. That is when Mzee Daniel Toroitich Arap Moi, the second president of the Republic of Kenya, who stayed in power for 25 years. So Mzee Moi was a dictatorial president. He was an imperial president who had all the powers to hire and to fire at whichever time he wishes. So his system of government also was borrowed from the first system of the first president, whereby he only served the interest of those who would protect his presidency. And because he was feared, and even the Kikuyu's tycoons, the Byrons, also were fearing that Mzee Moi would turn against Kikuyus, they tried to topple the government in 1982. So that is when Moi realized that he was having enemies within, and he adopted the dictatorial system of power. And through that, a lot of political assassinations took place, like that of Robert Ouko, the former foreign affairs minister of the Republic of Kenya, Tom Mboya, J.J. Kariuki. Those were human rights political activists in the country. So after Moi, there was a need, glamour for change, ahead of the 2002 elections. And Raila Odinga, who is now the current official opposition leader, went and merged with KANU, and that was in 1997. And when he merged with KANU, he dissolved his party, NDP, and joined KANU. So when Raila Amolo Odinga decided to dissolve his NDP, National Democratic Party, to join KANU, National, KANU was Kenya National Union Party. He dissolved and became the Secretary of General of now the new founded KANU. Not to serve, but to get the secrets of KANU's governing system, why it was a dictator and why it was not doing according to the expectation of the people of Kenya. You remember during that time, that is when Golden Bag scandal was discovered, where Kenyans lost a lot of billions. So when Raila went there, he joined with some officials from National Democratic Party, that is NDP, and he became the Secretary General. And 2 years later, he ditched the alliance after he was failed to be endorsed by the president for the election in 2002. Instead, Moi went and endorsed Uhuru Kenyatta. And that is the first son of the first president of the Republic of Kenya, Mzee Jomo Kenyatta. So that one did not go well with those who joined KANU from National Democratic Party, NDP. And the merger was broken, and KANU 2 was founded. And major political heavyweights who were in KANU 1 went and formed new KANU. Now, during that time of 2002 elections, because Moi, the second president, had endorsed Uhuru Kenyatta as the presidential candidate for 2002, Raila Odinga went, and by then, the retired president Mwai Kibaki, that is the third president of the Republic of Kenya, they came and formed an alliance, and that an alliance was given the name Rainbow Coalition. And Rainbow Coalition brought together all opposition leaders who felt they were shortchanged in KANU, and now they wanted to show Moi that they could finish KANU, because KANU was the ruling political party during that time. So in 2002, Kenyans were really, really thirsty and eager for change. And that is when the whole world discovered that Kenya was an optimistic nation, a vibrant nation, a nation that was having a future in their governing system, a nation that was preparing to open their democratic space. And with that alliance, after Raila Odinga had said Kibaki tosha, Kibaki being coming from Kikuyu tribe and Uhuru being coming Kikuyu tribe. Now that meant the votes from the central region where the dominant tribe Kikuyu was coming from was going to be split. And that was a defeat to KANU, and that is what ended the reign of KANU after 25 years. Remember very well that KANU was the independence party, so he had reigned since independence in 1992. So after 2002, Raila Odinga, Kibaki and the rest came under a memorandum of understanding, MOU. And MOU meant there was going to be a position of the premiership was going to be created. And this was going to be taken by Raila Odinga, who is coming from the Luo tribe. So after 2 years, with Kikuyus dominating the presidency, and they have never allowed the Luo, they have always perceived Luos as very intelligent people, people with good leadership skills. And the moment they take the presidency, it would be difficult for Kikuyus or any other tribe to get it back. So that is what Kikuyus fears most, even with the upcoming elections. So 2 years later, after the 2002 elections, Rainbow Alliance was split. And Raila Odinga went and started a campaign for a referendum, for an overhaul of the Kenyan constitution. So we went for the first 2005 referendum, where the opposition won because they felt the agreement which brought all the stakeholders to Bomas of Kenya was shortchanged. So they were campaigning for no. The good thing, they went and defeated the government. After 2007, after 2002, Orange Democratic Party was formed, and that was led by Raila Amolo Odinga. And ahead of 2007 elections, there was still that hope for change, and Kenyans were still ready for change. And Raila Odinga was eminent to take over the government. So indeed he won, but the government rigged in back Kibaki for re-election ahead of 2007 elections.
And so you're saying the votes were
rigged, and there was evidence that he had won, because the system by which Kibaki was was sworn back to the office was not according to the constitution. So that is what led to the 2007 post-election violence, which was mediated and brought in Grand Coalition government. And after 2007, we went and did a referendum whereby now we have the current constitution. And after 2007, with the Grand Coalition government, ahead of 2013 election, Uhuru Kenyatta now was running, whereby again, the presidency of Kibaki helped him to rig so that Kikuyus could retain power. Yeah. So after 2013 elections, this is where now we're going to 2017 elections, whereby now the Jubilee government has really done much harm than good. And this government of Jubilee, led by the fourth president of the Republic of Kenya, Uhuru Kenyatta, majorly what they have done is to loot the public coffers. Recently, 2 years ago, they borrowed a Eurobond, $250 billion, and that money cannot be accounted for. And what the former regime borrowed in 5 years, this regime has borrowed it more than twice. That one bringing Kenyan's economy into a state of quagmire, because the Kenyan budget now is 3 trillion and our external debt is equal to our national budget. And to me, as an upcoming politician, I see it like we are about to be declared bankrupt, because when your debt is supersedes your income, what is remaining? We are about to be declared bankrupt as a nation, and we will be auctioned, and or we can be bought working for some people to repay our debts. So
I'm going to interrupt you there for a sec. It's just something that popped into my mind. So maybe just go back and tell me why it was that the government felt they needed to borrow this money, and where did it go?
The reason why the government felt to borrow this money, there are information coming up by the former regime of the retired president Mwai Kibaki. They were threatened that Raila Odinga would have won the 2013 election, and a lot of money was removed from the Kenya National Treasury and freed into the nearby country in terms of billions. And why that was being done was because Raila Odinga would become president, and if he would become president, then you would find a government with no money to start with. So when this money went to the nearby nation, and that is Uganda, it says, the president of Uganda, Museveni, retained the money after Uhuru Kenyatta became president. So Uhuru Kenyatta, the president, now could not find money to start running his government affairs. So they had to borrow to start with. Being that also after the referendum, the Kenyan governing system had been widened, whereby we have now devolved system of government where resources are going down to the people.
Okay. I'm going to interrupt you one more time here. So what you're saying is that the Kenyan government borrowed on a bond from Europe, is that correct?
From America.
Okay.
The Eurobond was bought from America, and the information, the evidence that has been adduced shows that this money never reached the Kenyan treasury. This money was diverted into various individuals across the world.
What did the U.S. say about that?
The matter is still under investigation, and the Kenya Auditor General is still doing his investigations with the American authorities to find exactly where this money was taken. And on that same point, it has been revealed that the same government is planning to borrow another Eurobond of $80 billion. And the opposition leader has been vocal on this, and Kenyans have been alerted, and they are saying they cannot be subjected to death anymore. So we are waiting to see what is going to happen with the government and majorly with the Cabinet Secretary of Finance.
Yeah, you know, there was a little story out there saying, or I was told that your doctors are on strike, almost for the very same reason that the money that was allotted to pay them has now also gone missing. So how much money was allotted to paying your doctors that have, that's no longer there?
The reason why the Kenyan doctors are on strike, and recently the Kenyan universities lecturers have joined them, it's because the mismanagement of the public funds is not being accounted for. A lot of money is being used, and this is why the doctors are out. The reason is 5 billion was squandered. This was mismanaged in the Ministry of Health. And besides that, the government is over borrowing, buying things that are necessary. So doctors are seeing that this government does not have priority, and the priority for Kenyans is health, which they are not putting attention on. So the only reason for the government to be paid, and the only language the government of Kenya normally understand, is street protests and industrial strikes. If you want to be heard, if you're a Kenyan civil servant, for your right to be heard, is for you to go on a seat.
Yeah, and you know something, I was talking to a taxi driver the other day that said that violence was the other way that you would be also heard, that if you go out into the streets and you start murdering people, you're going to make yourself known. So, I mean, it's kind of a vicious circle here, you know. So this was the other thing that was brought up about the 2017 elections, was the fact that if Odinga does not get in as president, that we're going to go back to violence again. Maybe you could comment on that.
Raila Odinga is the opposition leader, and he has a huge following, and he has been banking on the people, because the Constitution of Kenya has given the supremacy of the Constitution to the people. So Raila Odinga always failed, being that he has a huge following, and whenever he made a proposal or a request to the government or to the parliaments of the national government, that is the Senate and the National Assembly, and there is nothing can be done. So because the Constitution also has given the people of Kenya the right to picket, the right to demonstrate, a peaceful demonstration, he has always called for mass actions, street protests, which are lawful. And this one happened during the time he said, if we will go to the 2017 elections with the former IEBC commissioners who are now out of office, he called for a Monday protest, and it was branded Monday tear gas or Monday street battles, because the IEBC was not preparing 2017 election as required by the law, and they were even partisan to the other side. They were pro-government. So Raila Odinga said that Azza Hassan should go with his team, and this was because the perceived tendering for the election procurement with the printing bodies in Europe, I've forgotten the company's name, it was not done according to the law. There was a kind of fishy deals where corruption exchanged hands, and it was branded Chicken Gate. So Chicken Gate made the 2013 election not to be done in the right way. It was not transparent. It was not. It could not be quantified who won. And after that, the opposition, Raila Odinga, went to petition the presidential election, where the former Chief Justice also gave a biased ruling. You see that? So going on the street to demand our rights is the norm. And that is what Kenyans understand. And that's what the government of Kenya also understand, that talking will never do anything. Dialoguing will never do anything. But if people resort to street battles where everything is being paralyzed, there is no going to school, there is no going to work, shops are not opening, the reason is to make sure the economy does not work. So when the economy does not work, the government fails the page and will hear what Kenyans are saying. And because of that, Now the IEBC commissioners, the ASAC-led commissioners, are out of the office, and we have a new body which was just sworn in about 2 weeks ago, who are going to oversee the 2017 election. And even besides that, Kenya right now, we are going through a mass voter registration, and a lot of things are being revealed whereby one person has registered as a voter 10 times. The former president Moi and Kibaki, their names are not in the voter register. Yeah, so you realize the opposition leader Raila Odinga has called for a forensic audit of the voter registration, and the government is not for this. Recently, they passed a backup law whereby if digital could not work, then the IBC will resort to manual voter rigging. Not rigging, but voting. But this is a system whereby the government had sensed a threat to defeat, and now they are working on modalities on how they can retain power. And on the same note, the opposition leader has said the only way for us to ensure we have peace in 2017 election, we are guaranteed a fair, transparent, verifiable election, is to use a digital system. So 2 weeks ago, Kenyans were expecting a mass demonstration all over the country. And that was ahead before this mass voter registration started on 10th of last month. And the opposition went to Nairobi, Bomas of Kenya, when Kenyans were expecting a direction to be given by the opposition leader. Instead, from mass demonstration, it was now mass registration, which now has received a very big negative impact, because it's like a voter empathy. Because people are not turning to register as voters. The body which is mandated by the elections in Kenya, IEBC, is now regretting, and they have not reached their target of 6 million. They have done under 1.5 million. And the reason is why that is happening, it's because the two elections which have passed, presidents have been rigged in and the opposition has been rigged out. So the opposition leader, Raila Odinga, stated his position very clear that if the election will not be transparent, verifiable, there will be no elections. That is the point now. And if it is rigged, it will be an expensive affair for the current president, because the president is trying to do everything possible for him to retain power. So with the elections coming in 2017, even Kenyans are fearing that it could be more worse than what happened in 2007.
What happened in 2007?
2007, Kenyans went to vote with the hope that Raila Odinga was going to be president. And Raila Odinga was the Orange Democratic Party. And during that time, the current deputy president, William Ruto, was among the Pentagon. The Pentagon were representative from major provincial administration units of Kenya. So there were five political heavyweights, and they came and formed what was called Pentagon. And they were under Orange Democratic Movement, though they were coming from different parties. So this election was won by Raila Amolo Odinga, but it was rigged. The then East Election Commission of Kenya, Samuel Kivuitu, is dead now, rigged the election. And even when he was asked by the international media, he said, "I don't know who won," and he was the chairman of the commission. You see that? And many questions were put to him during that time, and he said, "Why are we not getting results?" And he came back and said, "I think because these elections, somebody somewhere might be cooking them." So that is what led to 2007 post-election violence, where 1,500 Kenyans lost their lives and half a million were displaced. And that is what brought the president and or the Ocampo Six to the ICC.